This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Second hour, we have plenty of time. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you tonight is Ian
Riley
and Nobody.
And also, you can join Mark Edge, one of our co-hosts. He's going to be in Prague in this fall. It's going to be October 14th through the 15th. The Liberty in Our Lifetime Conference, back again, I think for the third year, if I recall correctly. Mark was there speaking last year. He'll be speaking again this time out. And representatives from Free Cities Projects in the United States, Honduras, Germany, and Norway will be joining the conference to share updates on their progress to create some territories that supposedly uphold individual rights and freedoms that to which you might be able to migrate at some point. When that will be, I don't know. You'll have to go to the conference to learn more about it. You can get a 10% discount on the tickets by using code FTL. And once again, drop on over to libertyinourlifetime.org. You can learn more about the event there. It's October 14th and 15th in Prague, and you won't want to miss this important event if free cities are of interest to you. Once again, that site is libertyinourlifetime.org.
Do they stream that?
I don't know. I think they did last time, but I'm not 100% sure. That would be a question you'd want to ask libertyinourlifetime.org.
I'm sure Mark will probably have some interviews from the show.
Good chance of it. That might give you a little taste of what it was like.
I'd definitely like to see some of this when it's in progress.
You had mentioned just off the air a moment ago, we'll continue with the Twitter files here in a moment, Nobody, that you wanted to comment on the Dred Scott decision, which they taught me about in school, but honestly, I don't remember much about. So,
Dred Scott was a Supreme Court decision, probably one of the most infamous Supreme Court decisions.
Wasn't that because they overturned it later?
I don't know that it was overturned. It was rendered meaningless by the Civil War and the 13th Amendment. And Dred Scott was a slave. He was taken to a free state, a state that did not have slavery, and then back into a slave state. Well, he sued his so-called master and said, when I was in basically you kidnapped me from a free state to take me to a slave state. And Dred Scott basically determined that slaves were not human under the law and therefore did not have standing to sue. And they're pretty open in the way they wrote it, as I recall, that they weren't actually saying that because it was true. They were saying it because it was necessary. And so because of the implications, and one of the things that they said is if we treated slaves as humans, they would be able to carry rifles wherever they went.
They would have rights.
Exactly. And specifically the right to keep and bear arms. Mm-hmm. But that tells you something about what they regarded the right to keep and bear arms to be at that time. The right to carry a rifle wherever they went.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also important, I think, because as Bobby Seale pointed out of the Black Panthers, any unarmed people is enslaved or at least subject to slavery at any given time.
Sure, no doubt. So we were talking about your story you brought in here tonight, Nobody, about these Twitter Files journalists that Matt Taibbi, Michael Schellenberger, they've been apparently summoned recently to Congress to testify about the Twitter files. And some Congress scum has now threatened Matt Taibbi with prison for allegedly lying to them, even though what he said was just simply a misunderstanding that he corrected later on. Whether or not any actual charges will be brought still remains to be seen. But there was a tough-talking letter.
It's significant that they're trying to intimidate people, that they're still trying to cover up the truth.
Well, right. And the point, I think, that Schellenberger, who made a video, we'll play the rest of it here in a moment, that I believe he was touching on, is that this is an intention to intimidate journalists. Maybe Taibbi and Schellenberger aren't intimidated because they seem to be pretty ballsy. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of other journalists out there that, oh, God, I don't want to lose my job with MSNBC or CNN.
Or I don't want to end up in prison like Assange.
Sure. Well, also, and that was what we were talking about, I think, when we went out to the break, was other journalists that have been targeted and imprisoned, and there have been multiple in just the last decade or so. Assange is the most high profile. There's another one, Barrett Brown, who actually went to prison for some number of years. He's kind of a lefty-leaning journalist that they targeted him for sharing a link to, I believe it was a BitTorrent download. So he didn't actually share the files. He just shared the BitTorrent link in a chat room, and they prosecuted him for that.
What was in the torrent?
What was in the torrent? It was some kind of leaked information about Stratfor, which was a security contractor, if I recall correctly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not the Shakespeare Festival in Canada, but the other Stratfor.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, and he's out of prison now, but he did actually go to prison for that. And so,
that's horrible.
Those are just the two that come to mind, but there have been others over the years that we've reported on. So it is scary, and they will come after you because they are evil, and they don't care about the truth, and they hate the fact that there are journalists out there that are still willing to tell the truth. People like the gentleman who revealed the Nord Stream pipeline explosion, Seymour Hersh, who's 80-something, I think 85 years old, and still doing hard-hitting, real investigative journalism.
Wasn't he the guy that talked about the abuses going on in Guantanamo? Or is it someone else?
He may have talked about that as well.
He's broken some pretty big stories over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I continue here with
the thing about the Nord Stream pipeline is somebody was publishing somebody was saying how this was still a big mystery,
mainstream media view.
And I posted a link to it and just said, yeah, for anybody who still doesn't know, Biden did this.
Well, I guess they forgot. I mean, there is a clip out there, and I'd probably have to find the audio of this. Maybe it's been scrubbed. Maybe it's out there somewhere. But Biden did say that, I think February of last year, that, the Nord Stream pipeline goes down, and we're doing it, or something like that.
Somebody challenged him and said, well, how are you going to do that? And he said, we'll do it.
We have our faith.
And the explosives at that point, I believe, were already in place.
No.
Were they not?
According to Hersh's story, which is like thousands of words long, it's really in-depth, but according to the story, that statement from Biden about how they would get rid of Nord Stream happened in February. It actually was before the invasion of Ukraine. Mm. And then the job was done, I think it was July or June. It was in the summertime in the waters.
I remember it being September, October.
Mm. Well, that's when the explosion happened. So they actually planted underwater charges on the pipeline, and they didn't blow it up that same day. They waited until later, and apparently the story is the reason why only one of the Nord Streams got blown up was because there were charges that were placed on both, but because of the lengthy amount of time that passed between the planting and the eventual explosion, and I think it was September, barnacles had grown up or whatever. Some sort of
charges discharged.
Well, something happened. They didn't blow, essentially. So it wasn't a full takedown of both of the pipelines.
Mm.
So, yeah, there was a 3-month-long delay before they actually blew the thing. All right, so let's continue here. Oh, by the way, speaking of Nord Stream, Schellenberger posted to his Twitter a couple of days ago about Seymour Hersh and his story about the pipeline explosion. He says there's a big debate over who blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. Instead of allowing the debate, Facebook surprise, surprise, has decided to take a side. It is censoring Pulitzer-winning journalist Seymour Hersh, and instead of explaining it, Facebook is sending readers to an article in Norwegian about the Nord Stream pipeline. They then apparently updated that by changing their censorship of Hersh's article. This is an update from today, removing a black box claiming that it was false information and changed the warning from false information to partly false information.
Yeah, so, you know, they've discovered that they won't be able to completely cover it up, so now it's just partially covered up.
Yeah.
I wish social media was actually social, where you could post, you know, a story you thought was interesting, even though it may be disagreed with, or people might disagree with you. Instead, social media has to tell you what's true and what's not, and maybe what they're telling you may not be accurate.
Well, I don't know if that's true with Twitter these days. It seems like Twitter has reversed course on deciding what is and what is not, quote-unquote, misinformation. Now, they do have the community notes on Twitter, which
I actually like.
It's pretty useful most of the time when they will contradict what somebody who's posting a thing says. It basically allows people who do have a different view to have their have the other view seen immediately underneath the original person's post.
And you can even use it to contradict the terrorists. Mm-hmm. For example, Joe Biden posted something within the last couple days about how he was the most pro-union president in history, and somebody posted right beneath it, you remember how you passed a law saying people couldn't, saying that the railroad workers couldn't strike? And, you know, yep. I wonder what the connection is, or if there is a connection between that law and the subsequent derailment of train after train in a way that I have never seen before.
Yeah, what happened with that, nobody, was that the trains derail all the time, apparently, and this was sort of a little-known fact that came out afterwards. Because what happened after the... You're referring to East Palestine, the big train derailment.
That was one. Subsequent. There have been many.
Right, but what happened after that was people started paying more attention to a thing that goes on regularly.
So it's kind of like police brutality during Black Lives Matter, where it wasn't a new thing. It had always been going on, but suddenly people started noticing.
Right, and the narrative around it, of course, was, what's going on? There's so many trains that are derailing. And,
it's a conspiracy.
Yeah, and then somebody would pipe up somewhere in the comments and say, yeah, it's like 1,500 a year. It's the average, apparently, in the United States.
Five, almost five a day.
It's multiple per day. Train derailments.
Okay. So. That I did not know that.
Yeah.
Are they normally... most of these, though, are just a wheel slips off the track.
Yeah, they're not as disastrous as what happened in East Palestine.
Yeah, because, I mean, we're certainly not losing 1,500 towns a day to human habitation because we would have run out of towns long ago.
Yeah. Let me go back here to the video you brought in here, Nobody. It's from Michael Schellenberger. He is one of the journalists being targeted by the federal thugs. And he says they're not going to stand down. They are going to fight back about this. He and journalist Matt Taibbi. Let me continue this video.
The bottom line is this. The Twitter files blew the lid off the censorship industrial complex, and its leaders are retaliating, not just to scare us off, but to scare away other journalists. But here's the thing. They don't scare us. They energize us. We are undertaking a major effort to expose the connections between the censorship industrial complex and the military and intelligence communities in the so-called Five Eyes nations of the US, UK, Australia, Canada, and New Zealand. We are hiring several people to do the research and turn the table on the would-be totalitarians. All of this is happening at the same time that Facebook is cracking down on people who are raising questions about the war in Ukraine.
If only you could turn the table on these people. I mean, I'm not telling them not to do it. Please continue on. Do the things that you're doing. Do all the investigations. Reveal all the information, all the dirty, dirty details, because you know they're going to be dirty. It's going to be ugly. Whatever it is that they uncover about the, you know, the industrial, what do you call it? Censorship industrial complex. We know it's going to get worse, whatever the truth actually is. But we know what happened after Edward Snowden. We know what happened after Chelsea Manning. Does the violence stop? Does the corruption stop? Does the scum, you know, leave Washington, D.C.? I mean, there's been so many revelations over time. Nothing ever changes. So, I'm hesitant to believe this is going to matter. But nonetheless, I do support what they're doing. So.
I think their ability to postpone the changes or the revelations makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if the CIA had been exposed as having killed Kennedy immediately after they did it, instead of in 2023, you know, maybe they would have actually got the lynchings they deserved. Maybe they would have been hung from light posts, which
I'm
is what you do when people murder the president.
I'm completely aware that, you know, some people are in favor of the death penalty, but I'm just not in favor of violence against government people, no matter how distasteful they are.
Well, I believe that there's only one justification for violence, and that justification is violence. But, you know,
Well, it never happened because the CIA, I'm with Riley on this one, but the CIA is so ensconced, right? Like, they're not going to be touched. Even if that information did come out before 50 years ago or whatever, then they still wouldn't have been shut down. There would have been nothing more than congressional hearings, maybe some finger wagging or shaking at the boss of the CIA. Maybe they would have replaced the CIA boss with a different boss, and then they would have said, well, but problem solved. Okay, we'll just shove this under the rug.
You may be right. We'll never know.
I mean, they don't hold themselves accountable. I mean, that's just the reality of it. Yes, they're prosecuting Donald Trump, and that is the first time anything like that has ever happened. I think that's definitely a surprise.
I think specifically, though, because he's not a member of the club, or
at least not
authorized to the level of the club that he attained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
Let's go on here. We got Chuck on the line in Washington. There's a little more to this video, but Chuck, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, you guys were talking about train derailments and briefly. I enjoy the conversation, by the way. I'm listening to KTOX down in Needles, California, and recently they had a news brief about a train derailment involving 55 cars around a place they call Kelso. I'm not quite sure where that is.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm starting to look at all of these different places. I'm calling from Washington State. They had a derailment not too far from that event near the Puget Sound. Now, one of the tactics that that the military intelligence community has come out and said that one of the tactics that the people that are involved in the Chinese government will do is sabotage. Do you think that this is a coordinated effort to try and undermine the rail system?
No, not if there's 1,500 per year. I mean, this could simply be the fact that railroads are, I don't know if monopoly is the right word, but they're controlled by a select few. So there's limited competition out there, and it's probably just a piss poor maintenance that is leading to this.
Yeah, railroad tracks, I believe, are actually controlled by the government.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
that's never going to work out well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, whenever you put a monopoly in charge of something, you're going to get crappy service. You're
like
going to get
potholes in your road.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I just wanted to bring that to the great conversation.
The Chinese don't have to do anything, okay? All they have to do, what they could do, and I think they are working on this, is they don't have to do anything directly to the United States. What they can do is they can go to their trading partners. They can talk to Saudi Arabia. They can talk to other countries, as they've done recently with, I believe it was Brazil, if I recall correctly, where Brazil and China have made an agreement to stop doing trade in the dollar.
Because now China is the number one trading partner with Brazil. It used to be the United States. Mm-hmm. In recent years, it's flipped to be China. And China said, you know, why are we doing this with the dollar? We don't need to do that anymore. Let's just go to the real and the yuan, and we'll trade directly in each other's own fiat currencies. And that deal's done at this point. If China keeps doing that, if they continue to go to these different countries and cook up deals with anyone they've been trading with dollars and say, how about we do this something different now? We'll use our own currency. And then they just, more and more of these trade deals start leaving the dollar. And especially if they can get Saudi Arabia to accept the Chinese yuan instead of just the dollar for oil, then it becomes, you know, potentially the end of the dollarization of the world, the end of the hegemony of the dollar, and that would be a great way for China to sink the American economy. But it wouldn't be China's doing. It would be the Federal Reserve's doing. It would just be that, you know, the chickens, in this case, would be coming home to roost and bringing with them tremendous inflation.
And the thing is, that would be disastrous for the U.S. government. But I think it would be possibly the best thing that could happen for the American people.
It'll be a hard situation for the American people to deal with the inflation because probably the average person isn't wise enough to go and grab some gold or silver or some cryptocurrency.
Well, I mean, hopefully they're wise enough, but you know,
what's the evidence of that?
I don't have the evidence, but I'm hoping
during Prohibition, or not Prohibition, but during the different parts of history, there's definitely been a flight to real value.
That's after things start getting bad, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And there are a lot of people that are going and buying gold and silver, for instance, right now. You can go on different gold sales websites, and they're limiting shipping to only orders over $250. Like, they don't even want to deal with you if you're not willing to buy more than $250 because they don't have the staff, they don't have the time. Silver Dave, who's a friend of the show, he runs a silver sales store in Weir, New Hampshire. He's busy every single day. The guys that are running the Goldback shop out in Manchester, the phone's ringing off the hook over there. So it's definitely true that some people are becoming aware that there is a potential problem that's out there. But that said, we still don't see lines outside of banks, right? People aren't, I don't know if the average
person... Not anymore.
Person
we did for a few days.
No, we didn't. When?
Outside Bank in Boston was one where... people, or maybe it was the it was one of the banks that ended up closing.
One of the failed banks. Okay, but I'm talking about, you don't drive down Keene and look at the front of the banks and see people standing outside. Yeah, that's not happening.
Because banks are still trusted by people to hold their money.
That's the problem. People still trust the system. They still believe that it's not coming down. But Chuck, what else did you have to say?
Well, we were talking about this last hour on a show that supports Free Talk Live. I have a friend in Needles, California, by the name of Ed, who would totally agree with you, I think. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate the call tonight. The number here is 603-283-6160. I mean, it's definitely true. When you look at failing economies, you look at places where hyperinflation has hit, those people are more interested in cryptocurrency. They're more interested in things like, you know, gold and silver. But and it's never too late to get into that, but better to start looking now, I think, than later. More coming up.
Yeah.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You USA News Update. The Supreme Court is ruling the abortion pill mifepristone can stay on the market. All eyes were on Washington as we waited on the ruling from the Supreme Court. This is the most notable abortion case in front of the Supreme Court since Roe versus Wade, which was overturned last year. The decision comes after the court extended a temporary stay on the Texas federal judge's ruling to halt the distribution. Conservative radio host Larry Elder is running for president in 2024.
Elder joins a growing list of candidates looking for the GOP nomination, and he said on Twitter Thursday that America was in decline, but, quote, this decline is not inevitable.
The family of the Louisville, Kentucky bank shooter wants the gun he used to be destroyed. The Sturgeon family said they were aghast when they learned state law requires the AR-15 rifle used in the killing of four people be auctioned off. Dave Collins, USA News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join us here. Bring up whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. Talking about things economics, things freedom-related, journalism freedom, the freedom to report the truth about what the government despots have been up to. That's what we're focusing on here to start the show out. We've been talking about a story you brought in here tonight, Nobody, about the Twitter Files journalists, two of them, Michael Schellenberger and Matt Taibbi. Apparently were summoned before Congress to be questioned about their truth-telling, because the government hates it when you tell the truth about what they do.
I wonder why they didn't bring Barry Weiss in.
I don't know. I didn't watch it. Didn't even know about it.
Yeah.
You clued me in about it here tonight. And now threatening, one of the members of Congress, now threatening Taibbi, Matt Taibbi, with time in prison for allegedly lying to Congress, which would be perjury. Of course, as you pointed out, Nobody, perjury requires that you actually intend to mislead or misinform about some sort of critical matter. And in this case, it was just simply him making a mistake about the name of an organization.
confusing CIS for CISA, I think.
Yeah, it was like some private group with a government agency he confused. And either way, he corrected it later on
And so I don't think she's got a leg to stand on. I think she's just trying to intimidate him, and it's not working. We got a video that you shared with me here that I've been playing, Nobody. And by the way, it is Ian Riley and Nobody here tonight. But this particular video is Michael Schellenberger explaining, you know, what their plan is. They're not just going to be backing down on this. And I want to continue with the remainder of this video
here. And what was interesting was that, or one of the things that was really interesting to me is that these were Democratic senators or congressmen interacting with a basically left-wing journalist, somebody who agreed with them on most things, but because he would not participate in the cover-up, all of a sudden they treated him with utter contempt.
Oh, yeah. You don't go 100% with them. You are persona non grata, apparently.
Yeah, and it's just the modern left is so different from the left that I left in 1992 when we still had question authority bumper stickers.
They still have those.
The revolution will not be televised, you know. But what I saw was leftists who believed everything their TV said during the Trump administration. I mean, of course, their TV was never tuned to Fox,
right.
but anything that any of the big government shills said, they just licked it up. The first time, what's her name? The horrible woman at MSNBC who had
Rachel Maddow.
Rachel Maddow.
Mm-hmm.
The first time
barely
she
a woman.
Said, "This time we really gonna get Trump." And the 4,000th time she said, "This time we're really gonna get Trump." And they ate it up. Both the first time and the 4,000th time, and every time in between, and thought, oh, yes, this time, we just got to get that Acme rocket strapped to our back just right and put the portable hole on the wall, and it's going to work.
No. But, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Trump myself.
I'm not either.
But, you know, it's just interesting how the media went after him like he was some horrible human being. Maybe he did some horrible things, maybe he didn't, but...
Well, if you're a president, you're pretty much a horrible person.
Yeah, I mean, you're occupying the most awful office on the face of the planet, where you can bomb people, potentially, and so, you know, it's just interesting how the media are more biased against Trump than they are about the office itself.
Yeah, and it's very similar. The thing that gave me, and I've never voted for Trump. I've considered voting for him in 2024, actually, just because his treatment has been so awful. But I doubt I will, because he's said and done things that I can't get over.
Yeah.
But the thing that gives me, I think, a little bit of sympathy for him is I remember during 2008. And 2012, participating in the Ron Paul campaign and thinking, how will the deep state and the media respond to Ron Paul if by some miracle he manages to get elected? And basically what happened to Trump was pretty much what I imagined.
I would think that they would just do something really awful to Ron Paul because, you know, like you said before, Trump... Maybe he's not in the top level of the elite club in D.C., but he's still in the upper echelons, whereas Ron Paul, I mean, he is truly an enemy of the state, and the odds that he would ever... I mean, of course, they're going to pull out all the stops to prevent him from winning, which is what they did. They prevented him from,
The Republicans at least definitely.
Well, the Republicans prevented him from winning the Republican nomination by pulling the dirtiest tricks that they possibly could pull at their Republican conventions. But had he managed to advance further, who knows what horrible things would have been done to him.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite possible they would have just killed him. But yeah, and it's funny. I don't actually think they generally rig the general elections, I think usually the nominees of both wings of the Uniparty are people that they're like, yeah, he's good enough.
Mm.
You know, he'll be fine. And Trump was the only time that I've seen them really go after one of the Uniparty people.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how things play out. Of course, 2024, they're gearing up for that as we speak, and the big fight appears that it's going to be Trump versus this DeSantis character, who is, in my opinion, definitely a worse monster than Donald Trump. I mean, this DeSantis, this is the governor of Florida, is as much of a snake as any politician can possibly be. He is not, as many people have been led to believe, some freedom-loving person. He's an ultra-right, arch-conservative, pro-police state government thug.
I mean, look how he handled Disney. I mean, he just ripped their free city status basically from them. And
And of course, the supposed free market conservatives cheered it along because, well, they hate anything that's, you know, woke or pro-gay or whatever, and so they hate Disney, so they don't care that they've been attacked and had their independence destroyed.
Well, the problem that I had with that, or that I have with the status that Disney had, is that they were free as a privilege, not as a right.
Sure.
It was, they had freedom, but nobody else did.
That's true.
And
I don't begrudge him for that, though.
I don't begrudge him for that. I mean, but
good for them. I mean, if we could negotiate that with the feds, we would do that, too, right?
Absolutely.
I certainly would.
Yeah.
You know.
If they would just leave us alone.
But that's the point, right? Like, if you negotiate with the government thugs, they can change their mind later, and that's what happened with Florida. They had altered the deal. Right. They had
pray
a good
I do not alter it. Any
Darth Vader. They had it good for 60 years, and now it's gone.
Yeah.
You know.
I think it might be back, though. I think
there's been some back and forth on it, from what I understand.
I haven't really been paying attention because I kind of lost interest in DeSantis. The only thing that he was good on was really COVID.
And that was only temporary because he wasn't good on it in the beginning.
He actually had state troopers at the northern border of Florida preventing people from entering the state.
And cops were arresting people for going to the beach.
Oh,
during lockdown.
Down there. Okay, I wasn't aware of that.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I'm sure I was aware of it at the time.
They cracked down. There was no spring break.
I mean, even if there's a pandemic going on, I think the best place you could be is on a beach. Funny open space?
Well, sunlight is the best disinfectant, best disinfectant.
That's why they didn't want people out there. I have a little piece of news here about DeSantis coming up here, if you want, we can talk about that. But first, Major Payne is on the line in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Major.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I got a couple, three things to bounce off of. You were talking about Trump, right? Well, the last president that I can remember that was a true outsider that was elected had three things in common with him. He was large, he was redheaded, and he was quick-tempered. This was Andrew Jackson. Beat a man to death on the porch of the White House with his cane.
Oh, wow. Geez.
Only president that ever did that, near as I can figure. I mean, some of them have been involved in duels, you know, but I do believe old Andy was the only one to ever whelp a man to death on his front porch.
Okay. That must have been before the Secret Service, huh? You had to do it yourself?
Yeah, I reckon he was his own Secret Service.
Mm-hmm. Now they've got lackeys to beat people to death for him.
Indian Wars. He was only a young man during the French and Indian Wars, and then he rose to prominence during the Revolution, and, you know, ended up going down and basically saving New Orleans by raising troops as he went to fight the British. I mean, he was a man of standing, as they would say.
Well, he's a politician who's probably a piece of garbage in plenty of ways, but that's a nice story.
The counterexample for me, and there are things that I like about Andrew Jackson, including his destruction of the central bank, at least temporarily.
Hmm.
That was the second bank of the United States, and supposedly his tombstone reads, "I killed the bank." That's what he was proudest of. But he was also responsible for the Trail of Tears, which was a horrible,
horrible
thing.
A very horrible thing to happen, because you're taking a group of people who, you know, originally came, who were here before you were, and moving them off their sacred lands.
Well, yeah. I think it was more than just moving them.
Yeah, absolutely.
My ex-wife's name is Bell. John Bell was the leader of one of the, when they split, one took the northern route, one took the southern route. Well, John Bell was a large red-headed Irishman, too, and he had evidently got himself in as chief, and half the tribe followed him. I don't know which one fared better.
Major, anything else you want to share tonight?
Well, yeah, you guys were talking about the leftists and how they've all been brainwashed and whatnot, and
I don't think that's completely what we said.
But, yeah. Right now is pride. People can't admit they were stupid and wrong.
That's true of the right, by the way. I'd just like to point that out. I mean, we're not exclusively criticizing the left of that.
But the track record as far as this COVID is just totally insane on the left.
Yeah, no doubt.
And if we can't heal from the last 5 years, how in the hell are we going to heal from the last 55?
I don't want to heal. Break it up.
Yeah.
I do want to go heal, but, you know, sometimes healing involves some breaking up.
Yeah.
And some pain.
If you're in a bad relationship, the only way you can heal is you get out of it. You're not going to get, if you cannot get along with the person you're with, then stop trying. Mm. Just, you know, you've tried the therapy or whatever and it's not working out. Okay. Say goodbye and go find somebody else.
Breaking up is hard to do.
Thank you, Major, for the call tonight. The number,
as I used to say when I was a drinker, there's 50 ways to leave your liver.
Are there?
It used to be a song called 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover.
But, that one went over my head.
As a drinker, you tend to leave your liver.
Didn't know that song. All right, good one.
50 Ways to Leave Your Lover.
603-283-6160. So, all right, we still haven't finished this video here from Michael Schellenberger. This is the wrap-up part where he's talking about what they're going to do to fight back against the, what do they call it, censorship industrial complex. Here's the remainder of the video.
The individuals who come from spy agencies who are now demanding censorship of their fellow citizens are breaking the law. They know we have caught them in the act, and they are scared. They should be scared. We can't do this alone. If you know something, say something. You may work in a government agency or for a think tank or university working on so-called mis- and disinformation. We need to hear from you. We will protect all confidences. We have already heard from several whistleblowers, and we need more. Just yesterday, an IRS whistleblower came forward to say that the IRS was giving special treatment to President Joe Biden's son, Hunter.
I'm shocked.
Courage is contagious. And if you're still not a subscriber to Public, now is the time to join. If you would like to make a larger tax-deductible donation, please visit environmentalprogress.com/give. As always, please email me.
He didn't give the full address. I guess that's his website, environmentalprogress.org/give. I'll let his email out here.
Encrypted email address, michaelschellenberger@proton.me. When Matt and I testified to Congress about the existence of a censorship industrial...
Just to clarify, his email address may be encrypted, but if you're sending an email to that address coming from, say, Google... or Yahoo, or one of these other major services, it is not encrypted. That is going over plain text, over various different email servers, and then it will land in his encrypted email box. So if you have something secret that you want to share to this guy, if I were you, I would reach out to him through some anonymous email address that isn't yours and ask him if he has a PGP key, and then figure out how to work PGP... and then encrypt your information properly and send it to him.
Yes, and also Proton Mail operates. They do use PGP, for the encryption behind the scenes, I believe. But the thing is, it does it in your browser.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the government tells them to, they can send a different plugin to your browser that will give them a copy of the mail as soon as it is decrypted. And they admit on their site that they will cooperate with pretty much anything law enforcement asks them to
really?
Do.
See, I hadn't heard
so,
that.
So, Proton Mail is not, I used to use them, they're not the bastion of security. If you want to keep things private, using PGP, knowing how to use PGP, and using PGP properly is essential.
Yep.
Just to be clear, PGP is an encryption protocol that can be used on a computer, right?
Pretty good that's privacy.
Right. That's right. I don't know if there's, I don't know if you can do it on a cell phone. Maybe you can. I've never looked into that.
I've got PGP on my cell phone. The issue that you run into there is...
Nothing's really private on a cell phone.
Yeah, nothing on a cell phone is really private because Google can scrape your screen. Mm-hmm. Google can change your operating system right out from under you in any way that they want to. And although technically they use open source, because you don't compile it and install it yourself, they really don't have most or any of the benefits of real open source software.
So I just want to ask a question, and perhaps some of our listeners might be asking this. You know, the average American out there is under the impression, well, I'm not doing anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, you know, sending emails to my grandkids or sending emails to my family members. Why would I want to encrypt that?
Well, I mean, technically, I don't generally encrypt all of my emails.
It's time consuming.
It is time consuming, and most of the people I send email to, I don't even have a key to encrypt it to. But there is a school of thought, and I think it's correct, that says really, in the best of all possible worlds, we would encrypt all of our email, because basically, if there's only one encrypted email in your mailbox, then they know what to attack.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But if every piece of email in your mailbox is encrypted, then they have to try and expend resources trying to break every single one of these mails, most of which will be laundry lists and irrelevant conversations.
So the more the merrier,
Exactly. Okay. The more we can encrypt, the better.
But that only answers part of Riley's question, and the other part is if you're just sending, if you're quote-unquote not breaking the law or whatever, you know, why do you care about this? And the answer is you don't know what all the laws are. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
You can
be committing three felonies a day. I think there's a book about that.
There is. So you don't know.
If you've used bug spray, for example, and not completely read and obeyed every single instruction on that can, you've committed a felony.
Yeah, and you also don't know if something you're doing today that's legal isn't going to become illegal later without you knowing that it's become illegal. I mean, you don't read the thousands and thousands of pages of statutes that the states and the federal gangs pass every single year.
No, so, I don't think anyone wants to take the time to read pages and pages and pages.
Yeah,
it's lawmakers are going to, they just assume and hope that their lawmakers are going to represent them well.
And they will always be disappointed in that hope.
All right, so that's pretty much the wrap-up here. I think he's got one more thing to say. Let's continue this.
When Matt and I testified to Congress about the existence of a censorship industrial complex, we were just getting started. We won't rest until we dismantle it and bury its parts deep underground.
Well, that is a very nice thing to say, and I appreciate the intentions. I am skeptical that they will ever have success with that. I think that the deep state, or whatever you want to call it, to me it's just the state, but the state will crush these people as best as they possibly can. I am grateful for them doing what they're doing. Unfortunately, we know that the state is not going to go away quietly. They're going to take down as many freedom activists as possible, as many honest journalists as possible. This is not going to be, you know, an easy road to go through, but I do wish them the best, although I'm not optimistic they're going to have the goal that they reach.
Who's the guy, Webb? Daniel Webb?
You're talking about from like the 90s or whatever?
From the 90s, he exposed the CIA for smuggling cocaine into the United States. And then he was suicided.
Yeah.
I mean, his death was ruled a suicide, but it was obviously a lie.
I'm sorry, it's not coming to me right now.
Yeah, I think it might have been Daniel Webb, but sad. I mean, it's so hard to remember them all of the people all of the victims who have fallen by the wayside because they tried to do
the right thing,
and truth is treason in the Empire of Lies.
No good deed goes unpunished.
It's true.
As they say. I wish it weren't true, but seems like it. So, speaking of top thugs, DeSantis is back in the news here from an Associated Press story since you brought him up earlier. He has now pass some more things that will be targeting the LGBTQ community, as the state board has approved an expansion of what critics call the Don't Say Gay law on Wednesday, and their house in Florida has passed bills on gender transition treatments, bathroom use, and keeping children out of drag shows. The Board of Education approved a ban on classroom instruction about sexual orientation and gender identity in all grades, expanding the law that bans those lessons up to grade 3 at the request of DeSantis as he gears up for a presidential
run. Do those laws apply to private schools or only to public schools?
I suspect only public, but I'm not 100% sure.
I suspect so, too. So if you're in Florida and if you don't want your kids to have their information restricted, my understanding is they actually have a very good school choice law down there. So maybe you could, maybe if the current private schools are not to your liking, you could find some people from the teachers' union and say, hey, would you be willing to take a pay cut in order to teach kids the way you want to teach them instead of, you know, being under the thumb of DeSantis.
That's what conservatives should be doing. They should be, you know, taking their kids out of government school if they don't like the way the government schools are teaching their kids, instead of making, like, stupid laws against the LGBT.
Well, in the case of, you're right, that's what the conservatives should be doing, but they're running things down in Florida, so they're going to shove their viewpoint down the liberals, and it's also what the liberals should be doing, is getting their kids out of the government schools and starting their own alternatives.
Both sides want to force their will on the other.
Yep. There's more coming up here, and we'll share it with you. It's Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs? Truck drivers? law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.